Hi everybody, we are back. It's 810 Hunting Tigers English News. The date today is Monday, January the 18th. I am your host, T-Ray, and with me as always, my faithful co-host out in the Hiroshima area.
Yep, it's the Wizzo, I'm here.
How you doing, Wizzo?
Miserable.
Miserable. It must have something to do with NFL playoffs, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I tell you what, oh my god, man. I hope I never bump into any Pittsburgh Steeler, especially if his name is Toussaint.
I'm sure you're one of a million fans that's saying that right now. I mean, you know, I didn't get to watch the game, but I'm probably glad that I didn't, just because it sounds like it was a disaster for you and your fellow fans.
It wasn't so much a disaster. I mean, they did good. I'm not going to lie. Ben was hurt. You know, we had a lot of things going, but, you know, one play could really make the game. And one thing I've always known, and I'm not even a football player, is that you always protect the ball. And this dude just took the ball away from his body. He didn't hold it correctly, and they just popped it out. And after that, that was it. Game over. So our defense couldn't stop nothing. It was over.
Well, there you go. I guess that's all the more reason for you to get down on the Hanshin Tigers 2016 info and get into baseball mode, because your football season is over, sadly. So, Wiz, we're going to actually jump into the show in just a little bit here. Just so you all know what we're going to be talking about, there's just been a little bit of off-season news, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. Then we are going to just share a little bit of the kind of H10 news, what's going on with the website and all that kind of good stuff. And then we are going to continue with our New Year's resolutions, which we worked on in episode 16 last week. We're going to look at the pictures. So stick around. We are going to be back in just a little bit. Right, Wizzo. So, let's shift away from football here and let's get into some baseball. Actually, let's start with the news that just hit the press today. The Tigers have announced the signing of a sixth foreigner. His name is Rafael Dolis, and he's from the Dominican Republic. So he will be probably starting the season on the farm, but you never know. I mean, if he has a better showing at spring training than Mateo, I suppose he could be up on the big team and Mateo could be down on the farm. But you hear anything about Dolis?
You know, I saw that today. You know, yeah, stepping away from the football thing. But after the football game was over, I was like, oh, cool, they finally signed Dolis. And I haven't been able to look into it that much. But you're right, he probably start out on the farm. Mateo sounds like he's in a higher position, you know, than Dolis is. So I'm good.
Clearly with the priorities, yeah. I mean, they signed Mateo before they signed Dolis. So that's a sign right there, right?
Yeah, but hey, you know, I got to look into him just a little bit more. You know, I got to read his profile from the Tigers and see how good this guy was.
Yeah, well, you know, it sounds like they both throw 98 miles per hour. So they're both fireballers, and it should be exciting to see just which one of them kind of, you know, has a better adjustment period to Japanese baseball. We'll see. I mean, they both played at the AAA level for the most part last year. Dolis with the Detroit Tigers and Mateo with the San Diego Padres. And so we'll see which one is able to slip into the Tigers roster and maybe fill in for your boy, Sung-hwan Oh, who is now, jumping into our next piece of news, a member of the St. Louis Cardinals. How you like that, Wiz?
I don't like it. You know, I'm a Pirates fan. I'm a Pirates fan. And so that's our number one enemy right there is, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals. So, you know, if I'm ever back in, you know, Pennsylvania, during baseball season, you know, and I happen to go to a game where he's there, I gotta go against him. I mean, I might have my Korean flag, but it's gonna look kind of odd wearing a Pirates jersey. But good for him, I guess, in a sense.
Well, you can wear the Pirates jersey and have the Korean flag and cheer for Kang, right? Because he's from Korea.
That's right.
But as far as O goes, yeah, I mean, obviously now you're like star-crossed lovers, right? I mean, you're in opposing camps.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but it's like, dang, you know, it's gonna look different, you know, seeing him pitching for the Cardinals. Man, I used to cheer for you. If I ever meet him, man, I used to cheer for you in Japan, and now you did this to me. That's fine.
Yeah, well, not much can be done about it. I wish him all the best. I mean, you know, I'm not a fan necessarily of the Cards or the Pirates or anybody in that NL Central, so I don't really have, you know, anything at stake here. So I wish O all the best. I really hope he succeeds because, you know, I hear a lot of skepticism on the Tigers page, or our Tigers page, I should say, the English one, people saying that they don't think that he's going to be able to handle major league bats. And we'll see what happens, but I really hope he succeeds.
Oh, yeah, I do too. I mean, I don't want to see him go to the U.S. and just, you know, die, you know, on the mound or anything. But, you know, it's like Maeda. You know, Maeda's there. I just think he's going to flop more than O will. I just have a feeling.
Now, Maeda's one I wouldn't mind seeing flop because, for one, he's a former CARP player. And secondly, he's gone to the Dodgers. I don't have a particular fondness for them either. So, you know, I've got nothing to cheer for as far as his MLB career goes. The only thing is, I suppose, I hope he's successful enough that he stays there and that he doesn't come back to the CARP because, you know, any way you slice it, the Tigers just don't have a good record against him. So go, Maeda, go. Stay away, Maeda, stay away is what I say.
Yep, sounds good.
Yeah. All right, well, you know, I think that's about all the off-season news. I mean, there's little tidbits here and there about, you know, so-and-so is doing his training in Guam or in Okinawa or in Nishinomiya or whatever, but it's not particularly exciting. It's just kind of the same thing as every off season. And so, you know, let's just hope that the players stay healthy over the next couple months before the season starts. That's the biggest thing right there.
Yeah, definitely. We need some health. I mean, they need to be healthy throughout the whole year. I mean, I know it's hard to do, you know, going out there and throwing all those pitches. But yeah, hopefully everybody in the off season is dropping weight or gaining strength, doing something to improve their game.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing that I like about Japanese ball is that definitely these guys, you know, most of them don't sit on their duffs in the offseason. Most of them have got something that they've been told to do by their manager or whatever. And, you know, it's different from the American game where the players in the MLB tend to do things based on what, you know, on their own personal motivation in the offseason. So it's not like the manager is saying, hey, you need to drop some weight or you need to gain some muscle or anything like that. But the players will kind of look at their previous season and go, well, I'm going to be a free agent in a couple of years. If I want to sign that big contract, I better do A, B, and C. And so they go out and do it, right? But there's nobody really watching over them. On the other hand, in Japan, I think they kind of tend to wait for managerial orders and they follow those.
Yeah, and that's just Japan as a whole. You know, it's yep. They're always involved in doing something. You know, I tell some of the people I work with, I'm like, Japan is about your name. You know what I mean? So if you're a doctor and you give a bad prescription or you make the wrong diagnosis, your name is what's ruined, you know, and honor comes with the name. And, you know, oh, you know, like Yamamoto, oh my goodness, don't go to him. That whole name is just ruined, you know, family's ruined. So, and I think that's the difference is not so much in America. It's like, nah, if I screw up, oh, well, big deal. But in Japan, it's like, if I screw up, it's a big deal, you know, so I actually like it when the managers are involved with telling the players, hey, drop weight, gain strength, throw faster, you know, something like that. I
think the manager definitely then takes responsibility for the players.
Yeah, true.
And yeah. So, and I mean, either way, I mean, it reflects on the manager, you know, when this player comes to camp in shape or out of shape. And so certainly, I mean, overall, it's a good system. I don't mind it. I mean, like you said, it's kind of the Japanese way that they tend to defer to their superiors and everything. And so if the manager says that I got to do it, I'm going to do it. And they'll be obedient and they'll do it to the best of their ability. Whereas if the manager said, think for yourself and decide for yourself what you want to do, you know, it might be harder for them to devise their own off-season training regimen. So, yeah, great. Mm. I'm all for it. Speaking of off-season and preseason, which is just around the corner, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast yet, but I will be heading down to Okinawa for a little bit of the spring training this year. So I'm pretty excited. It's my first time heading down to Okinawa for that particular season.
Oh, wow. And, you know, I've been to Okinawa 3 times, I think once for vacation. Mm-hmm. It's nice down there. I remember the hotel we stayed at was right next to a baseball field, actually right behind a baseball field. So I don't know where the actual stadium is down there where you're going, though.
Right. Well, you know, I used to live down there, as many people know, and I may have mentioned on the first episode of the podcast, but yeah, I lived down there for over 10 years, so I kind of know the land fairly well. And the Tigers play in Ginoza, which is kind of north It's like North Central, I guess you could say. But, you know, there's seven clubs that'll be playing in Okinawa during spring training. But the interesting thing is the Tigers actually have only two exhibition games set up during their whole month down there. And Kanemoto's done that on purpose. Basically, they have one home game against the Rakuten Eagles on the 16th of February. And then a road game. Keep in mind, it's Okinawa, so it's not really that far of a road. And they'll be playing against the Yakult Swallows in Urasoe on the 21st of February. The rest of the time, Kanemoto has said what he wants to do is he wants to play intra-squad games. And the reason for that is you can practice before the intra-squad game. You can play the game. And then after the game, you can talk to the players right away and say, hey, I noticed this. I noticed that. We need to work on this. Why don't we get to it right now for a couple hours or whatever? And so, I mean, it's a hard schedule for the players, but Kanemoto's basically saying, I don't want to waste any time. We don't want to be hopping on buses and traveling to another stadium. You know, and when you've got a game against another team, your pregame schedule and your postgame schedule means basically you're not going to be practicing that day. And Kanemoto's saying, nope, we're practicing. So that's the outlook for much of February for the Tigers, I guess.
And that's pretty, I mean, that's smart. You know, I mean, if you're able to recognize and fix, you know, mistakes right away, that's just going to help you in the long run. You know, it's fresh in your mind, like, oh, I did this. Okay, well, we can go and fix that and let's start working on it. So, yeah, it depends on the weather too. You know, the weather down there can be a real big factor on how much energy you got left. If it's humid, yeah, hot, you know, that's it.
But it's February, so it's really not that hot there, and it doesn't get too humid, and there's definitely no typhoons, so it should be okay. But the cool thing is, yeah, Kanemoto has said that on weekends, basically, the first one I think will be the 7th, and then every Saturday and Sunday, a national holiday from then until the end of February, they will be having intra-squad games. And one of the things he said is, it's weekend, so hopefully we'll get lots of fans out to see these scrimmages, and players will... I mean, they'll have to prove themselves in front of a crowd, you know, so it's kind of like two birds with one stone in a sense that, you know, the players are going to have to be at their top level during those exhibition or those scrimmages. But you're also going to be entertaining fans because they would much rather see players, you know, pitching against each other, hitting against each other, as opposed to just running laps or doing sprints or stretching or whatever. Right. So it's kind of win-win for everybody. So I'm looking forward to catching a little bit of that action. Should be pretty fun.
Yeah, definitely exciting. I remember I stayed at the Laguna Gardens. I could see the baseball field right there, which was pretty neat. So I'm sure it's going to be a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, just to mention a little thing that you did for me, and I'll mention this so that I'm on the line to do it back. Wizzo actually just sent me one of his two Randy Messenger autograph cards in the mail. I just got it today. Thanks, buddy. And so while I'm down in Okinawa, if I get anybody's autograph, man, you're entitled to something. I'll do what I can.
Well, you know, you gave me the Matt Merton card and you know, so that was the one thing I was like, oh, cool. You know, it's one for one in a sense. But the one thing I did remember telling you was getting you the Junior Mints. And I saw those. I'm like, yep. You got to be kidding me. You did have Junior Mints. So that was pretty cool to be able to get up to you because I had to give you peppermint patties, I think, before.
Yeah. Yep. No, I appreciate it, man, because it's hard to come by that kind of stuff here. So awesome. All right, Wiz, let's just mention a couple of new things about H10, and then we'll jump into today's program and talk New Year's resolutions. First of all, I think I mentioned this last week that my Kickstarter campaign went through, and so I am going to be looking at some really cool sports templates for the website, and I hope to be able to revamp it before the season starts. I'm pretty excited about that. And then the other one is that I'm actually having business cards made. And on one side of the business card is going to be the H10 logo, the new logo, and it's going to kind of just be all about Hanshin Tigers. And then the other side is going to be about kind of translation, interpretation stuff that I hope to also be able to do freelance. So it's just kind of a cool handout that I'll be able to give to people. And so if I see... Even if I see some of the players down there, like Messenger or Hague or whatever, man, I'm going to give them my business card. And, you know, hopefully they'll be able to get in touch with me and maybe we'll be able to get them on the show sometime this season.
Yeah, that's good. I remember when I was a recruiter, business cards, you go through like 1,000 every 6 months. You know, we just hand them out. You never know who's going to get it one day and go, you know what? I remember this. And just, there you go. It's all it takes. You know what I mean? So. Yeah, if you got those things, man, just give them out to everybody. You know, just give them out to friends, family, doesn't matter. You know, somebody's going to keep it or hand it off to somebody who's going to need it.
Hopefully, yeah, it'll get into the right hands, right, in the right timing. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that for sure, for sure. All right, well, I think that's about it as far as the news goes. If there's anything else that's really new, I mean, we'll hit it up either at the end of the show or, you know, if it comes to mind as we're talking, that's fine as well. But today, Wiz, I just want to kind of continue on with what we did last week with Fernando, where we talked New Year's resolutions for some of these players. And, you know, obviously we're not going to get to every pitcher because, again, that's going to put us well over the 1 hour mark, and I don't necessarily want to do that. So let's just get started, though, and let's look at some of these pitchers and what did they not do in 2015 that they need to do in 2016, or what do they need to change, or, you know, what do they need to stop doing or whatever. And so we'll start again with the low numbers and we'll work our way up the scale. So we're starting with number 14, Atsushi Nomi. And what should Nomi's New Year's resolution 2016 be, Wiz?
Nomi. I think the one thing that stood out about him to me was it the amount of innings he pitched. It just, when it's time to come out of the game, I'm trying to remember a game, but I was thinking about this before when we were talking. I was like, what did Nomi do last year? He did something that was like, you know what, take him out of the game. And I think he actually lost the game because he was in too long. That could have been a watch
Giants?
Call. Yeah, that could.
You mean the one where the Giants scored 12 runs in one inning against the Tigers? Is that what's coming to your mind?
Yeah, well, that's kind of a water call. But at the same time, it's Nomi, like, yeah, I don't know how much leniency pitchers have to say, hey, look, I'm done. But
right.
I think it's longevity. I think he's got to improve his stamina somehow to go a little bit deeper into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got to work on that. And just maybe his location. Something's missing from my thought process here, but I'll just say his stamina, or, you know, to go deeper into games, and maybe his pitch location. Maybe that's what irritated me about him. I can't remember.
Okay. That's cool. I'm actually going to talk about that 12 run inning that he was on the hook for the most part against the Giants towards the end of the season. And that kind of relates to something that I think Nomi needs to change. And actually, I've been reading a book by Masayuki Kakefu, the Nigun manager, and he's a former, you know, Tigers great, and he's been an analyst for the team for a couple of years. And he said his observations about Nomi are that he's just a very brittle, weak guy, not in the physical sense, but mentally, that when he gets beat up a little bit on the mound, like, he just loses it, and he's not able to kind of like reel things in and slow things down and get back on track. And so that's what he needs to change. He just needs to be able to take a few hits and keep on going. Because it just seems like, you know, when things are going well for him, things go really well. But when things aren't going so well, like, it seems like it's feast or famine with him. So just consistency is what I would say for Nomi. That's what I'm going with.
I could agree with that. You know, and thinking of a couple games, yeah, I mean, a couple hits, couple walks, you know, lead to a couple runs. Yeah, I can agree with that. Yeah, he needs to get a little bit tougher up there, upstairs mentally. But he's what, 35?
I think he's 36 going on 37 this year.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll be 37 in May. So, yes. Mm,
okay, so a little bit tougher to change, but we just got to hopefully can make some slight adjustments. You know how you get older?
Yep.
You get older, it's, you get more stubborn.
Yep, for sure. All right, let's look ahead to number 16, Yuya Ando, the reliever. And, you know, as much as people might say that he needs to drop a few pounds or whatever because he's kind of a pudgy guy, I don't think that's ever changed about him. I think he's always been a portly fellow. And so my New Year's resolution for him is not to drop a few pounds. But, and this is a guy that's got pretty good location, but I think maybe he just needs to learn to shake his head a few times if he doesn't like what the catcher is demanding of him, because it just seems like it's always that one hit that destroys Ando. You know, he doesn't tend to give up like four or five hits in a row or whatever, but it always just seems like he gives up the big one. And I think maybe he doesn't have the courage to shake off the call from the catcher. So I think he needs that courage. What do you think, Wiz?
Yeah, I'm looking at his stats from last year. He had 44 innings pitched and 43 hits, you know, and
that's not, it's not too bad.
You know, a hit an inning. So it's, I mean, you're right. It ain't that bad. You know, in 11 walks, so 32 strikeouts. He is good, but you're right. You know, he had that. It's just sometimes where it's like, come on, Ando. Oh, Ando, you got to be kidding me. He gave up the hit or, you know, a double or something like that, you know. So I think maybe if you studied some batters, like later in the game, how they maybe they changed stance, maybe different pitches we could throw at them. Maybe just study the batters, you know, in the eighth and ninth inning. Maybe that'll help him out because it's just sometimes, like you said, he's giving up that one pitch to the one person that you don't give that pitch to. And it's like hands in the air, head back. Oh, my goodness, what just happened type deal. So,
yep. Yeah. And I mean, the catcher is definitely on the line for part of that because the catcher is the one that's saying, hey, throw me an inside fastball or whatever.
And not true.
Like I said, Ando has got pretty good command of his pitches. And so it's not that he's missing very much. I actually read a report. It was last offseason, and they were looking at his 2014 numbers. And they said that he hits the target more than any other pitcher on the Tigers staff. And possibly, I think he was in the top three in the Central League as far as like not missing the catcher's mitt or like not missing the call that the catcher had for him, missing it the least frequently. So part of it's on the catcher, but then part of it's on him too. Like if he doesn't think that an inside fastball is going to work right now, he needs to shake it off, right? That's my opinion.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, catcher and pitcher have to both communicate. So he had one wild pitch last year, which that's pretty good. One.
Not too bad. Not too bad at all. Yeah. Okay, let's move forward with, and thanks for the stats, by the way, because my internet is just not happy right now. It's just not working. Let's move forward with number 19, Shintaro Fujinami. And what do you got on him for a resolution in 2016? I mean, this is a guy that's possibly the ace of the staff moving forward.
Boy. Man, there's not a whole lot. I mean, he had the most strikeouts. I mean, 221 strikeouts last year. So that's on the team. 2.40 ERA.
I don't know. Look at his walk total there, buddy. Tell me how many walks he threw.
Walks he had. Yeah, he's high. Yeah, you're right. 82 walks. That mm-hmm. doesn't sound like a big number, but there were a couple games I do remember where he walked the bases loaded and luckily got out of the jam, or he walked two to load the bases and he forced himself in a position where it's like, man, this is do or die. You know, I give up a hit, that's two runs, you know. And so he does have to reduce the walk total now that you point that out. I didn't catch that one. Home runs, not too bad, you know, 9.
I think I was at a game where he actually walked 9 batters, bro. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, it was against the Carp, and he won the game, but he walked 9. I couldn't believe it. So, yeah, this is a guy that I think I saw him pitch live 3 or 4 times last season, and I just felt like he gets his pitch count up too high too fast because maybe he's trying too hard for the strikeout. And, you know, he's got the tools to strike out a lot of guys, but it just seems like if that's his best way to get players out, he's not going to last very long. I mean, he's going to blow out his arm. He's just going to wear out as the season goes on. He's not going to be as effective. And, I mean, it showed in the last regular season game where it was do or die against the Carp, and he allowed 6 runs. Or I think he allowed 4 out of the 6, or I don't know, but he didn't last very long. So, yeah, he needs to get his control under control.
Yeah, I remember you were at that game, and I was home watching that. I think it was the Carp game. And, yeah, man, he walked 9 people. I do remember that game. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, the more that you have to use your arm because you're walking people, I mean, you got to sit there and think to yourself, what if I got to switch something up here? And of course, him and Umeno or whoever his catcher is going to be has got to really work that out, you know. So I think it'll be all right. But, yeah, total.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talked about this at one point in the season, and if you look at the website from back at the end of July of last year, I – translate an article about Messenger just to talk a little bit about how he changed his game up at one point because he was going for the strikeout too much. And what he did was he said, you know what, I'm just going to start to induce grounders. I'm going to get these guys out on 2 pitches. I'm just going to give them feeble grounders or, you know, a weak fly ball or whatever. And that's what he did, man. And so that's one of the reasons that Randy did not win the strikeout title this past year, is because I think he changed his game up a little bit in that sense. And we'll talk resolution for Randy in a little bit, but I think really Fujinami could stand to learn that lesson from Randy and just keep his pitch counts a little bit lower so that he can stay stronger all the way through the season. All right, let's look at our next starter. And this is the third starter we're looking at already, number 21, Minoru Iwata. And just before you get to your resolution, and this will give you some thinking time maybe, we were at a game together and we watched Iwata throw. And man, you got pretty frustrated with Iwata as we were at that game. You were like the only guy on the first base side booing him, but you know, not without reason perhaps, but it was both fun and embarrassing to sit beside you at that time. Anyways, have you got any resolutions for Iwata for this coming year?
Okay, I think you see a connection here on how I am as a sports fan. You know, obviously, you know, you saw my Facebook page talking about the Steelers today, and now, yeah, that you just remind me. Well, I mean, when you get a bunt and you just overthrow Gomez or underthrew him, overthrew him, I can't remember that, but oh my goodness, Iwata. You know, I'm a diehard fans will boo their team because they expect more and they know they can get more out of them. Iwata. Oh my goodness. Sometimes that dude is a gem. And then there's times where it's like, Iwata. And that was one of those games, you know, cause it certainly didn't go our way that night.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, prepare to be shocked, everybody, with my New Year's resolution for Iwata, because this sounds completely unlike me. Learn how to bunt.
What?
Unless Kanemoto doesn't call on you to bunt, but I mean, pitchers tend to be called on to bunt a lot, and Iwata has got to be the worst bunter on the whole team. When he's been called on to advance runners, he has been completely unable to do so, and he needs to get that right. I mean, you know, we can criticize Wada. Well, yeah, we still can, even if he's gone. We can criticize him all we want about him calling for bunts and stuff, but I mean, the bottom line is these players are trained professionals and they should be able to do what they're called to do. And especially pitchers know that that's going to be their duty at the plate at times. So learn it, Iwata. You got to stop blowing these ones, I'm telling you.
Yeah, sometimes pitchers do need to bunt. And you're right. I mean, I remember a couple games where Iwata's bunts were just horrible.
Yep, they were double play inducing, or you know, or they would throw out the lead runner or whatever.
Sure, so. Sure. They weren't great. They weren't the bunts that you need to have. But you know, he needs a focus, man. He had like 8 wild pitches, and I remember a couple of those. But he just needs to focus a little bit more. I mean, I think he gets sometimes too wrapped up in what's going on. I just think he needs to separate. Say, okay, I gave up that hit. Let's focus on the batter. You know, I sometimes maybe think that he's thinking ahead, like, okay, I got a guy on first. If he gets a hit, he's on second. Man, this guy's got a, and I think he's got maybe too much going on.
Maybe
8 wild pitches and not being able to throw to first base. So maybe if he does that, and I think he'll be okay with not hearing my boos.
Sure. Okay, let's move forward now with a reliever. Actually, we're going to talk about Hiroaki Sayuchi, who really just came into his own this season, or this past season, I should say. And I saw him on TV this past Friday, and he is looking to become part of that kind of, how can I put it, the winning formula, I guess, where last year we had Ando Fukuhara. Sayuchi wants in. He wants into that kind of winning thing instead of being the guy to mop up or to pitch in the blowout wins or whatever. And I think he can do it. But again, the issue with Sayuchi and his resolution, in my opinion, is, dude, you got to stop walking so many guys. Look at his totals. I don't have them in front of me, Wiz, but I think he walked more guys than he struck out this past year. Am I right?
Yeah, he had 27 walks to 23 strikeouts.
Ouch.
Yeah, but his ERA was 2.62, but still. Yeah, as you said it, popped into my head. Yeah, that dude was walking too many people.
When you walk that many guys, you're playing with fire. So a 2.62 is great, but I mean, next year he could have the same kind of peripheral numbers and end up with an ERA of almost double that if he's not careful.
Yeah, and plus he's not making it easier for his next reliever. You know what I mean? If it's like, hey, look, you walk batter, you got to go. And now the next guy comes in and it's like we saw O come in at one time. It's like, dude, you got bases loaded, no outs. You got Abe at the plate or something like that. I mean, good luck. So, yeah, Sayuchi, if he stops walking people, or walking that many people. He'll be all right.
He's got the potential to be a great reliever, a great setup guy or whatever. Maybe even a closer in the future. I mean, it really depends on how our Dominican guys do and stuff. But, you know, he's got good stuff. So it'd just be nice to be able to see him harness it a little bit more, keep it in the strike zone a bit more and stuff like that. Okay, let's move forward to number 28, the elder statesman of the team, the pitching team captain, Shinobu Fukuhara. He will be turning 40 next offseason. He just turned 39 last month. New Year's resolutions for him, Wiz?
I mean, he's 40. You know, there's not much more we're going to get out of Fukuhara. Yeah, he's not bad. He's not bad. I mean, a good him and Ando are kind of like the same circle. I mean, he's 40 years old. That's the only thing that he's got going against him right now is just his age, you know.
Yep.
Maybe this is his last year. I mean, he's not too bad. 18 walks to 40 strikeouts. So, you know, giving up hits, though, 55 hits, that's in 53 innings. So,
yeah. Well, you know, he's kept his arm in pretty good shape. You know, early in his career, he had some pretty bad injuries with his arm, but he's been really healthy. And I think I don't know if you have his career numbers in front of you, Wiz, or not, but I think he's gone four straight seasons of 50 appearances or more. So he's really consistent in that respect as well. And I think my resolution for him is, you know, just sleep. Sleep as much as a 39-year-old needs to sleep, man. That's it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, he's getting up in age. So it's, you know, it gets tougher. I mean, I'll be 39 this year, but man, Fukuhara, boy, it's hard to pinpoint one thing with him.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, he was very solid this past year. So I think we can move forward, move past him. And actually, we have to jump quite a bit down the list. I'm looking at the list, the entire list of pitchers, and a lot of these guys just aren't regulars and aren't worth necessarily talking about. For now. Sorry, guys. Maybe next offseason. And we're going to jump all the way down to number 54, Randy Messenger. Have you got any kind of resolution for Messenger, Wiz? more cards, please. Just kidding.
Messenger, man. You know, we talked all last year. The only thing with Messenger is not Messenger himself. It's the run support for him. He's to me, from what I saw, he's just a completely different person when he has a lead. 60 walks, 194 strikeouts, 2.97 ERA, 163 innings. I'm sorry, 163 hits, 193 innings. Mm-hmm. I think his numbers will change if he gets the run support. And that goes to Kanemoto fixing our hitting issue that we suddenly lost or had a lack of in some of those games. Remember, we're having like two hits, three hits, one hit, you know. So if that is able to change, I think Messenger's numbers will increase in the right direction. I think in the right columns. I think strikeouts will go up. Yeah. I think walks will drop, you know. So again, I don't think it's Messenger himself. I think it's the run support that he needs so that he can control the game better. I think some of these numbers are just, God, I'm playing behind. You know?
Some of it, yeah, it definitely is a byproduct. And, I mean, if you were to look at his numbers from the end of May until the end of the season, I mean, they're clearly a lot better than what they are right in front of you, right? Like, I mean, his 2.97 would be down to the low twos. His record, instead of being 9-12, would be 7-7. And even then, I mean, when you have an ERA of around 2 and you've got 7 losses, that's certainly not, you know, you can't be held accountable for that. But an interesting thing about Messenger and Fujinami is that, you know, there's all this talk of who's the ace, right? Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that Randy maybe got such poor run support is that he was kind of the staff ace. And so when he was on the mound, guess who was on the mound for the other team? The other team's ace. So what that means is all of a sudden the Tigers' bats are going to be a little bit more silent. They're not going to produce as many runs. And you might think that, but at the same time, I mean, Fujinami has been pumped as the team's ace as well. And I mean, if you look at the gap between their run support, it's not like Fujinami on the mound was going up against, you know, just the other team's fringe players or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Fujinami was going up against quality pitchers as well, but the Tigers were bringing home a lot of runs for him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in 2016 and how they set the schedule. And it may not necessarily dictate exactly how the run support goes. But if Fujinami ends up as the pitcher on opening day, that means that he's going to be facing the ace of the Chunichi Dragons. And then in the next series, it'll be the ace of, I think it's the Tokyo Yomiuri Giants. I could be wrong. Anyways, he'll be facing all the aces. The result would be perhaps that he'll get less run support.
Yeah, you said something very interesting, and I didn't think about it, is, yeah, who they're facing. Who was it? The guy from the Giants. The coach's nephew?
Sugano?
Yeah, one game we just beat that guy up.
During the playoffs?
Yeah, yep. We beat him up. It was like, holy cow, we couldn't do this the whole year, but when it counted in the playoffs, we beat him up. And that was really great, so.
And it was on his birthday.
That's right. It was on his birthday. So, yeah, I didn't think about it. But, of course, you know, you put Messenger out there, the other team's going to put their best pitcher out there, which, you know, makes sense, of course. So, you know, if we're able to study the pitchers a little bit more, hopefully change, you know, turn some things around. Maybe guys see pitchers doing something that the batters are missing. Batters just don't capitalize on it. I don't know, but it's a whole new year. So hopefully when Randy's out there and we face the other team's ace, we're able to hit him more off season. You know,
I hope so too. Now here's another interesting angle on things. And I don't necessarily want to get too controversial here, but reading this book by Kakefu, one of the things he just commented on in the part that I read was about what makes a pitcher the team ace. And he had certain quotas or certain things that they needed to reach, like 200 innings pitched, or they need to be at least 8 games over 500, or, you know, stuff like that. But one of the interesting things he said is once a player reaches ace status, and you reach ace status when you get recognition from your teammates, from your manager, and from your fans. It's got to be all three, right? Mm-hmm. He also said, though, that there's a certain elevation of your status on the team, and there's a certain change in the mentality of the team when you put your ace on the mound, especially when he's going up against other teams' aces, is that you want your ace to be the winner of those two, right? And there's a real awareness of that in Japanese ball. And so one of the things he said, and I don't have the book in front of me, so I don't have the exact quote, but he said something like, you know, when these players think about their ace on the mound, they say, koitsu o katashite agetai, right? Like, I want to make my pitcher the winning pitcher of this game. And I can't help but wonder if the Tigers players have a little bit more of that feeling towards Fujinami than they do towards Messenger. And maybe that's why they're producing so many runs when Shintaro's on the mound versus when Randy's on the mound. And again, like, I don't want to stir anything up that isn't there, but I just can't help but wonder, you know?
That's an interesting spin. I don't know. I mean, I think last year, I think you and I talked about when a certain pitcher's on the mound, how many runs they had scored or something. I think, how many runs did the Tigers score when Fujinami was on the mound? And of course, Messenger with the big, like, 2 or 3 compared to Fujinami, who gets like 9. I don't know if we go based off of that we talked about last year. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It does look that way, but you know, he's a foreigner. I'm sure there's a communication, you know, that communication gap there. So, I'm not sure exactly what it could be, but I don't know. That's an interesting way of looking at it, though. I never thought of it.
Yeah, I didn't either until I read the book. Interestingly about Randy, if I'm not mistaken, the rule in NPB is that after 8 years of service, you're no longer in the gaijin or the foreigner status. So what that means is Randy is now entering his 7th year. At the end of 2017, if he stays for the Tigers in 2018 and beyond, he will be considered a Japanese player. Not by citizenship, but at least by the rules of the league. And so they'll be able to bring in one extra foreigner if they choose to, because Randy won't count against the limit of 4, which will be kind of cool, you know?
Wow. being in Japan for 8 years and, hey, I'm Japanese now. You made it. You crossed the goal line.
Yeah. Well, I also read an article, and I don't know how in context this was. I'm kind of starting to get skeptical about a lot of the Japanese articles, sorry to say. But they said that Randy was quoted as saying, I'm planning to play out the rest of my days with the Hanshin Tigers. I wouldn't even think about moving to another team in NPB and so on and so forth. And it's very possible. I mean, it wouldn't put it past me that he would say something like that. I mean, you know, he does like the team that he's with. He does like the city that he's in and so on and so forth. But it'll be interesting to see if he does play out the rest of his career in Japan or what happens. I mean, because we saw what happened with Matt Merton, and we still don't know what's going on with Matt for next season. You know, if Randy happens to not have a great 2016 or 2017, I mean, the team might just kind of say, hey, sorry, you know what? We're done.
Yeah.
And that would be a real shame, you know?
Yeah, it would. I mean, especially when you like the city. And I mean, he's 6'6", you know, 250 or something like that. I mean, you get a foreigner like that walking around Japan, of course you're going to probably treat him a little bit differently than you would the 5'8", 180 guy, you know? So, you know, but nonetheless, he's a baseball player. And if he likes the city and the city likes him, you know, it's a perfect match. So, yeah, I really hope he does. Can you imagine him, like, wearing a different uniform, like DNA?
No. You know, I was listening to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. I've been listening to it all year, and they interviewed Randy back in, might have been September. And after the interview, they just started to talk about, you know, oh, you know, Randy sounded real bitter in that interview, and it sounds like he's frustrated with the Tigers and like he's ready to move on, and he's a free agent this offseason. What team do you think would be suited for, you know, a guy like Randy? And they were talking like, oh, you know, I don't think he would move to the Giants, but they could certainly use him. And that another team they mentioned was SoftBank. And I was just thinking, like, you guys don't know reality. I mean, like, you're basing all your skepticism or all of your, you know, imaginings here on this one interview, but you haven't been following the team the way that like Wizzo and T-Ray have. So zip it is kind of how I felt when I heard them.
Yeah. If you talk to me today about football, it's going to sound bitter and it's going to sound horrible, you know, but you would be able to take after that, like, hey, you know what? So-and-so, you know, hey, they lost today. So he's going to be that way, but I think he's all right. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, it's back to normal. So, right. You know, yeah, if you know the team, if you know the person, the people, yeah, it's going to be completely different. I can walk in right now and I don't even want to mention that guy's name. I can't remember his name, the one who has the annoying wife, but I can look at him and go, yeah, dude, whatever. But who knows? I mean, if I followed him and got to know him really well, I like him. Yeah, whatever.
Michaelis. Miles Michaelis. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I hear you, man. I totally hear you. Now, let's get one thing straight. I have nothing against the guys at Japan Baseball Weekly. In fact, I think they do a great job. They are very knowledgeable about the sport. They're very knowledgeable about the league. I've got a lot to learn from them, and that's why I keep listening to them. But sometimes when they talk about the Tigers, I think, like, man, why don't you just bring me on the show? Because then you'll at least get a much more informed opinion than what you guys have got. Because, you know, they're both stuck in Tokyo, and they don't watch the Tigers as faithfully as I do, for sure. So,
yeah.
If you're out there, John and Jim, I'm available. Just, you know, hit me up and I will join you on the show sometime. All right. Anyways, let's move forward. We've gotten really distracted here from our list of pitchers and New Year's resolutions. I actually only have one more guy on the list that I really want to talk about, and that is number 67, Suguru Iwazaki, who was the starter. He was the fifth starter, I guess, on the team for much of the year. And, you know, we had our share of laments about him during the season, Wiz. I don't know if you remember that, but have you got anything, any words of advice for him or anything that you think he needs to get right in 2016 that he couldn't do in 2015?
Well, I remember you saying it was on the page during one of his games. When he gets to about the fifth or sixth inning, that's it. And he would always get beat up around that time. So he
basically twice through the order was kind of his magic. That was it. I mean, after his second time through the order, when he reached third time, whether it was in the fifth, sixth or seventh inning, that was the end in general.
Yeah. Some games he looked really good. Some games he looked bad. And some games, when it, like you said, when it got to the fifth or sixth inning, oh boy, that's it. You know, and we saw it like hit, hit, walk, 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 hit, hit. It's like, holy cow, get this guy out of here. You know, so yeah, he's got to build up something. He's got to at least got some starts. You know what I mean? He got into the game. He got into a rhythm. He's just got to build on top of that. He's got to be able to go beyond that fifth or sixth inning. Whether it's a mental breakdown that he's had or something, physical breakdown, not sure, but he needs to hit the gym or, you know, stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely could be partly physical. And the other thing is, I think the opposing batters just figure him out after two at bats. They're like, oh, you know what? I see a pattern in what he's doing. Or, you know what? If I just wait on his slider, you know, I think that's a hittable ball or whatever it might be. I mean, they've figured something out. They've seen something after two at bats, and then enough is enough, and that's it. Mm. So, sure. With Iwazaki, I would definitely say, yeah, I mean, you need to learn the opposing batters a little bit better. But the more I think about him, the more I realize, you know, he's actually got a decent arsenal. His fastball is not overpowering by any means, but when you put it against all the different breaking pitches that he throws, and he throws quite a few, you know, he's got enough to confound batters. He just needs to figure out how to put it together for an entire game. And I'd love to be able to see that. I mean, I think maybe they just need to find the right catcher for him. Maybe it was that combination that was wrong. I don't know.
Who was his catcher?
But
Tsuruoka?
I think for the most part it was Tsuruoka. Because Umeno was so in and out, and you know, he was down on the farm quite a bit and stuff. And Fuji, I think, was more or less the Randy specialist. And then Fuji would come in relief a lot of times towards the end of games. Mm. But I'm pretty sure it was Tsuruoka for the most part. Yeah. So, yeah, let's see Iwazaki just kind of put it all together. Interestingly, though, despite all the meltdowns he had last year, Wiz, and you can confirm this if you check the stats, I think his ERA only went up by 0.01 from his rookie year. I think it was 3.5 in 2014 and 3.51 in 2015.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
It's a 3.51 last year. I mean, he pitched 77 innings. Yeah, he had 77 innings pitched last year. So I'm not sure how many he pitched. Well, the year before last, I should say.
Right. I think it was in the 90s.
Okay, so
like maybe 93 or something.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of an improvement. You know, he's got time to improve. Mm-hmm. You know, especially with a new coach, yep, new mentality. You know, and Kanemoto might see something like you said. Hey, you're pitching three fastballs and then three sliders. You know, somebody's going to catch on to that, and that's why you know. And guess what? It's the big hitters. You know, they see that. So maybe he'll be able to pick him up a little bit and, you know, help him throw the batters off.
Right. Oh, here's another resolution for Iwazaki. It just dawned on me now. This is one of the guys that I think on the team, he probably is the least intimidating as far as his look goes and as far as his attitude on the mound. I think he just needs to step up his stature on the mound and just show that he is a presence to be dealt with. Show a little bit of emotion, show a little bit of toughness out there, because I think he still looks like a little boy, and you know, that he can't really change that. I mean, if he looks young, he looks young, right? Yeah. But I mean, you got to look tough. You know what I mean? And he's got to do something to toughen up, give these batters a little bit to be scared about beyond just his pitches. I mean, they have to look at him and go, ooh, I really don't want to step up against him again. You know what I mean? Whereas right now, I think they look at him and they just kind of chuckle because he looks like a little boy, both in his, you know, in his face and also just his demeanor.
Mm. Yeah, as far as looks goes, you know, Fujinami's the same way. You know, young looking, of course, you know.
Yeah, but he started to howl and growl on the mound a lot more than he did in his rookie year, for sure. I mean, he's really, you mentioned it a few times in the podcast already. I mean, this is a guy that's starting to show his emotion, man. I like
yeah.
it. And you would say that, and you would just, like, sing his praises for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, I like a guy who gets fired up. I mean, you know, trying to steer away from football here, but Mike Tomlin is a very emotional coach, man. He gets fired up, and that's, and if you got Kanemoto who gets fired up, Fujimoto's getting fired up, I think Fujinami gets fired up. It might spread. I mean, you really don't see Messenger getting, you know, too riled up. Iwata, not so much, you know, but I said it before, Iwata looks like he's part of a gangster. Like if there was a gangster kind of movie made, I think he'd be the star of it.
Yeah, he could be in a biker gang, no problem. And I mean, Randy doesn't really have to, he doesn't have to yell or shout when he gets strikeouts. I mean, just look at him, man. He's just the toughest guy on the team.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to work on that. But all right, Wiz, well, we're gonna wrap up our pitchers talk for the day. It's been fun. And I mean, there's a bunch of minor pitchers that we could have talked about as well. But we can save that for when we get a little bit closer to the season and see how they do in spring training. One last thing I just want to mention as far as upcoming podcasts go. I've talked to a few people that are Tigers fans that want to kind of try out their casting skills or whatever. And so I've got a couple of guests tentatively lined up for the upcoming weeks. But also, I've got guests lined up for, I've got 4 out of 5 guests lined up as far as other teams, bloggers or other teams, super fans or whatever. And so I've already got a schedule made out. I'm really excited. Starting with the first Sunday in February, I believe around then, we're going to have a guest from another team, Wiz, and we're going to be able to talk about like, what are the Bay Stars looking like? What are the Dragons looking like? What are the Carp looking like? And as we talk to these guys, we'll be able to kind of size up the competition a little bit and get a little bit more knowledge about the league. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, you and I, you know, we could talk Tigers all day and it sounds great. You know, somebody else comes in and like we have with Fernando, you know, it's always good to see other people's, you know, point of view, you know, how they see the Tigers. Maybe we're just living on cloud nine and they're living in reality. I don't know, but And it is also good to learn, like, hey, I mean, DNA. I'm not really the expert on DNA, but somebody could come on and give us some more insight. So when we see that game, we're like, oh, yeah, I remember that, you know, so-and-so tell me about, you know, whatever that, you know.
Yeah, that player.
Player, yep, pitcher, whatever. Exactly. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it sounds good to interact with other people also, you know.
So it should be good. And so, you know, stay alert for that, everybody. If you have not been tuning into H10 in 2016, or sorry, if you have been, but you know people that haven't been, you know, let them know, tell them what's coming up so that they can join in the fun as well. We're going to wrap things up now. Thank you for joining us for another session. This is episode 17. I'm hoping to get up to around 65 or so by the end of 2016, but we'll see how things go. Wiz, as many as you can come for, man. Of course, you're always welcome. It's great to have you on the show. Once again, if you need to contact us for anything, you can reach me by email, podcasts@thehanshintigers.com. You can hit me up on Twitter, @thehanshintiger. You can hit up Wizzo on Twitter as well.
Yeah, I'd say for the next couple of days, stay away from my Twitter. Let me go ahead and delete some tweets and, you know, get back to normal here after a couple of days, but it's at Wizzo, WHIZOH.
I thought you were going to change it to @Mateo, no?
Oh, no. I was thinking, like, maybe I should cut off. Oh, nah.
The other thing, everybody, of course, you know, you're always welcome to leave comments on the website, www.thehanshintigers.com. The Facebook group, the Facebook page, they are both Hanshin Tigers English News. I'm planning to use the group as kind of a place to show links for the game streams and to do in-game comments, and then the page to do more news reporting so that they're divided up a little bit. So stay in tune to both of those as well as the season draws near. Enjoy your January, folks. Stay warm. It's starting to get cold out there, but enjoy it. Take care. See you guys again next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the end, folks. This is H10. See you next time.